This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live coming to you live from Forkfest at Rogers Campground in beautiful Lancaster, New Hampshire. There is no view like our view. I swear this is the most beautiful place in the world. And it's Mark with you.
Hey, I'm Ian.
And Will.
It's early in the morning, and we're just putting together Free Talk Live for the day. And, I feel like this is, the greatest little break, not from doing Free Talk Live. Not that we have real jobs or that life is difficult or anything like that. But, hey, you show up at a campground, you hang out with hundreds of your closest libertarian friends, and there's really nothing quite like it.
There are hundreds here, by the way, at this point.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
There were hundreds here yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah. There was 100 here by Saturday.
I officiated Josh Noon and
Josh? You mean Jay?
Jay and Shaolin Noon's wedding. You think I'd get their name right, considering I just married them yesterday?
Yeah.
I was talking to his brother all week.
Sport Fest. It's all good.
Yeah.
I ran into another couple while I was out. They picked up their marriage license a little while earlier today, and there are Ivan. You remember Ivan?
Yeah, the guy that helped you move in.
Yeah, he.
I didn't recognize him when I saw him.
He brought his soon-to-be wife. They've asked if I will perform a nikah for them while they're here, which is an Islamic-style wedding.
Yep.
So
awesome.
There's probably going to be like 3 or 4 more marriages that happen. Some state-free and some state contract.
So you mean during Porkfest?
Yeah, during.
We were talking. The Porkfest and Porkfest kind of run into each other the moment that Porkfest starts. Porkfest ends. It's a big extension of one big party. There's no fundamentally different thing. Porkfest has rulers and dictators and these sorts of things, whereas Porkfest is just people having fun. But the fact is that Porkfest's existence. I mean, if you're doing whatever you want to do for 4 or 5 days, and then all the rules start, you're not gonna, you're gonna feel like, I don't really need the rules.
We're the Dogecoin Dark of festivals.
But we were talking about this stateless marriage thing, obviously at the reception, the wedding reception of Jay and Shaolin, and I think that, for me, I don't see any particular problem with getting a state marriage if that's what you want to do. If you, for instance, your wife works for the government and has great benefits, great insurance, my wife did at the time. We got married, we got a state marriage, and I got an operation that fixed my deviated septum. I don't feel bad about it. It only really bothers you when the divorce comes and then suddenly the state gets involved and how everything's going to get divvied up. But if it never happens, then it's nothing you have to worry about.
Well, it's kind of a cost-benefit analysis, I think, really. Some people, like Jay and Shaolin, are in a situation where there's really no benefit for them to get a state piece of paper. But for other people, like me and my wife, for example, we have no choice. If we don't have the piece of paper, armed men will come to our house in the middle of the night and kidnap her and throw her in a cage until we can come up with the money to get her back to Kenya.
And armed men have come to Jay Noon's house in the middle of the night to throw him out of his own home when he didn't pay property tax, because he's always been somebody who hasn't even driven with the driver's license, I don't think, ever in his life.
Yeah.
I mean, he drives all the time, but he doesn't have a government license. I mean, the guy lives by his word. He lives by his beliefs. He's one of the most true, honest men I think I've ever encountered. He's amazing.
Yeah, agreed 100%. And he doesn't see, when I said by the power vested in me, I'm reading their script.
Yeah.
By the power vested in me by, Jay and Shaolin, who else?
that was great.
Who else would you have the power vested by? A marriage is supposed to be the union of two people before God and man.
Mm-hmm.
And how the state got involved in that is fascinating. George Washington, Martha Washington, they didn't have a government wedding. A preacher man got with them and probably some of their some witnesses. The reason they like to have witnesses to make it sort of real. In this case, there were 100 people out there witnessing it, so it was very, it was quite real. And that's, you know, that's why I say the declaration between you and God and man. I think that, you know, you're publicly declaring that this is what you want for the rest of your life, and, you know, that's a beautiful thing. The government saying, well, this is the standardized agreement, and you will abide by the standardized agreement unless you have a prenuptial agreement drawn up by one of our licensed attorneys and all that stuff. Yickety yackety, yickety yackety. Who needs it?
See, what is called a prenuptial agreement in this society for Muslims is a marriage. It's just a contract between two people where you make an agreement with one another. If my wife wanted a box of Godiva chocolate every Thursday before 5 p.m., she could literally put that in the contract before we get married. And if I don't, without good cause, provide her with that, then she now has a grounds for divorce because I've invalidated the contract by violating its terms.
Right. Right. And I think a lot of people get sort of whipped up about prenups, but I think they're a pretty good idea. So if, for instance, one party has a lot of money when you get together and another party doesn't have a lot of money, that doesn't mean that...
You don't love me. You don't believe we'll stay together, Mark.
Whatever that might be, I can tell you this. I've gotten married once, and that's all the times I'm going to get married. So I don't have, I won't have to worry about that conversation.
I've been divorced twice. That's why I'm so broke.
Have no intention of having it. But, you know, and that brings up another point, right? So there's the one side, you know, one party has lots of money, the other party doesn't have lots of money. To me, a prenup makes a lot of sense there. Whereas when my wife and I got together, we both were in debt, not, you know, we didn't have any money at all. So she was there every minute while, you know, money was being made, and it was her actions along with mine that caused that to happen. So to me, she rightfully can claim half of everything that I own. That's fine. You know, I've let her know on multiple occasions, hey, if this isn't working out for you, you know, take half and go. And that presumably the relationship is so good that she decides to stay with some 47-year-old loudmouth that, you know, for whatever reason she's decided is worth sticking around with. Yeah, and I'm not trying to say for one second that I don't think that marriage, or as I define it, right, as a marriage is a bad thing. I think it's the family is the institution upon which Western civilization and probably the rest of the civilizations, I'm just not as familiar with them.
All civilizations. Yeah. Marriage wasn't even invented by Western civilization. The Chinese were doing it 2,000 years before we ever thought of it.
Right, right. It's just my ethnocentric behavior here that's really coming down to it. No, I think that the family unit is what really defines, you know, the society as we have
civilized
it.
Civilized society. Yeah. There we go.
I think the problem is that the state inserts itself into that role.
And everything else.
Yeah, as it does. And in many cases, people will use analogies about the state, you know, and apply it to life. So the mommy government. Mm-hmm. And they literally look at, when you talk to young people, this is why you see, in my opinion, why you see young people are into socialism, is what you see. Like, young people have always been into socialism. Here's a surprise for you. Somebody who doesn't have a job
or a father
wants to be and has been taken care of their whole lives and doesn't have any real responsibilities is going to be a real good recruit for you know, a social estate.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I've said this many times. It's government as the sovereign. It's government as the provider of sustenance. You know, basically what people found, and I get that literally from religious scripture, you know, Judaism, the Bible, Quran, all have a verse somewhere about how how faith, God provides the food for the birds and for you as well. And now we've decided that, well, God doesn't exist. God is now the state. The state is what provides your food. The state is what provides you. The state built Earth. Didn't you know that? Like, all of creation exists
right.
Because the state
before there was,
deemed
there was
it
the
so.
State.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You saw, yeah, Barack Obama's quoted as, you didn't build that. Right. Well,
exactly. Before
the hell I didn't, Mama Jamma. I built it. Right. The fact that something existed before that, you don't get to take credit for as the government. The fact that the United States government has existed for 200 and something years doesn't mean that the United States government takes credit for everything that occurred inside the polygon that they managed to conquer. Absolutely ridiculous. And that's true for any government. I'm just, you know, the United States government's where I happen to live, and I deal with those particular statuses on a regular basis. But, yeah, it was people working doing in the free market, doing exchanges. They're the ones who built all this stuff. You can't commandeer the roads and then claim, and then build some more roads and then claim, I invented roads. Without us, there would be no roads. Without you, we'd probably flying around in cars at this point and wouldn't need roads.
It's like public schooling. You've got 3/4 of the country completely convinced that if you didn't steal half their wealth every year, people wouldn't know how to read.
And not to mention the shedding, I would vacuum the carpet 3 times a week. Frodo was scratching all night long, bouncing on the side of the bed, keeping me awake the whole entire night from all the scratching and chewing. It kind of makes you neurotic.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy?
Mounds and mounds of fur all over the place.
Come to Dinovite for help.
DINOVITE.com. If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
Dinovite is nutrition. The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
He gobbles it up. He's not up all night scratching. His shedding is minimal, and it is such a pleasure to have my calm, relaxed, non-shedding puppy back. And I have to thank Dinovite for that.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dinovite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
What's more profitable, running your business or doing bookkeeping? Doing your business, of course, but you want to keep your books so that you can maximize your tax savings, right? What if I told you that there's a person that's a bookkeeper, accountant, and law school graduate that's also a hardcore libertarian?
My name is Melanie Johnson, and I hate the states. I will aggressively help you to minimize your tax exposure and maximize profits, all while staying within the law.
Melanie's your best choice for your taxes and bookkeeping needs. Go to tax.freetalklive.com and check out our website, tax.freetalklive.com.
Zencash is an end-to-end encrypted system with zero knowledge technology over which communications, data, or value can be securely transmitted and stored. With over 7,500 secure nodes, Zencash has one of the most distributed node systems of any cryptocurrency. Zencash is a platform for cryptocurrency and communications built by voluntarists for voluntarists, with the ideas of voluntary interaction being written into the white paper no less than half a dozen times. Learn more at Zencash.com. That's Zencash.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE. Yeah.
Free Talk Live can be live from Forkfest at Rogers Campground in beautiful Lancaster, New Hampshire. It is, well, it's another gorgeous day, and soon Forkfest will meld into the Porcupine Freedom Festival. I'm looking forward to it. It's Mark with you.
And Will.
And yeah, we've managed to grab somebody and want to ask a few questions. It's Caleb Dyer.
Yep.
Is that right? And Caleb, you are a representative for the New Hampshire State Assembly. What do they call that?
State Legislature. Yeah,
State legislature.
The general court collectively between the House and Senate.
Yeah. Oh, is that so? I knew that the term general court was used. I didn't know that that was for, it meant both of those.
Yeah, it means the legislature.
Okay. Excellent. So I wanted to see if there were any kind of updates that were going on that you might want to mention, because often, sitting out in Keene, New Hampshire, I don't get to hear everything that happens at the State House. I'm probably a bit more plugged in than your average person, but, you know, the things that are happening in New Hampshire are unique because New Hampshire is the freest state in the world, and something like thousands of libertarians have moved here in order to make it even more free, and you are one of the very few libertarians that are holding office currently.
Well, out of the closet libertarians.
Yes, I mean, yes. Like libertarian is with big L, right?
Yeah,
Libertarian
yeah,
Party.
Yeah, yeah. Not that that means a hell of a lot. Other than that, I mean, it signals to other people, hey, you know, we actually have outright libertarians who are actually, you know, in office. But with regards to updates and whatnot and things that have been going on, the legislature is out of session. We actually ended in late May.
Imagine that doesn't disappoint you at all.
No, it does not disappoint me whatsoever. They
and what's the time frame?
So, constitutionally speaking, our deadline is July 1.
Okay.
We usually never have to meet, like, till midnight before that deadline, but it has happened in the past, not while I've been in, but let's see.
When do you guys start?
When do we start? We start the very first Wednesday in January, so usually it's January 3rd, 4th. Somewhere around then.
So January through May.
Yeah, yeah. Well, through June, usually. Okay. That's at least the first year of the two-year session. We go, generally speaking, from January to June. And then, you know, the second year, sometimes we end early because we have less bills, or they've just cranked through the bills because the House leadership just wants to kill a bunch of them, or you know, whatever it is. But
so this is the second year of a two-year term, right?
Yes, correct.
And so what are some of the things that were pretty exciting about that came from last year?
Constitutional carry, that was fantastic, repealing the concealed carry licensing requirement.
So that means that a person can, in the state of New Hampshire, buy a pistol, wait the 3 days, the three-day federal waiting period, and then when they go to pick that pistol up, they can slide it in their pocket and walk out the door.
Indeedy.
Okay.
Yep. No problem. They can, you know, they can't load it up in the FFL. You know, that's actually, I think,
most
personal.
Businesses don't want you.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Most
businesses
around do not want you loading a gun in their friggin' gun store. But
right.
Yeah. You know, you could go out to your car, load it up with the ammo that you just bought, and yep, there you go.
Off you go. Self-defense. So constitutional carry. What else happened?
Let's see. We passed a bloated as hell budget, so I wasn't too terribly excited about that. But
yeah, again and again, it doesn't seem to matter, Democrats or Republicans.
Even with a Republican governor who was supposed to, you know, keep this spending in check, you know. I mean, I went into his office because he was calling in representatives to whip our votes in favor of his budget.
So with the governor, you're going into his office?
Yeah, so anyhow, I was in the governor's office and he was whipping votes on the budget. And I told him his budget was crap, and he said, well, what can I do? What can I make? You know, how can I make the budget worthy of your vote? And I said, literally, you could introduce Hassan's previous budget, and I would vote for that, because at least it would spend $0 more than the budget that you're proposing. And he was just like, well, that's not going to happen. And I said, well, I guess I'm not going to vote for your budget. And then I walked out. So
why was it more? What were they spending more money on?
Just various things. DHHS expansion, so Department of Health and Human Services, additional money to DOE from the general fund. So Department of Education.
Okay.
So the
children.
Sorry for all the acronyms for the normies. I should be explaining it for radio. But the Education Trust Fund got additional money from the general fund as well, which means that's coming out of property tax ultimately. So many different things. There was money that was taken out of the liquor fund, which goes to the Education Trust Fund as well, almost in full, to go into, like, rehabilitation services, and then and that's just specifically for alcohol. Then there were additional expenditures approved for drug war stuff. Yeah.
One of the difficulties that politicians have is, on one hand, the state claims a monopoly in a particular activity. So call it education or whatever, right? And then they, they don't want to fund it. Yeah. So, you know, they got the monopoly in education, but they don't want to fund it. Well, you know, it would be a lot easier for these schools if they were just spun off and told, hey, you got to operate like a school, and you got to be good enough that people want to pay to come to send their kids here, and that would be probably a lot more effective.
Well, interestingly, so in the second year of the legislative session, there was a bill to kind of dismantle the education monopoly just a little bit. It was called school choice. I think many of your listeners are probably familiar with what that concept is. By the time the bill was finally amended, it basically turned into a redistribution bill, which I should have expected this because, you know, there's not a Democrat in the world that's going to vote for giving away adequacy funding, so funding that is student-specific.
Right.
Basically, reserving that adequacy funding for individual use. So if, say, a student wanted to go to a private school and you wanted to get back a portion of that which you pay in tax to send them to public school,
right,
you could get that back for the purposes of sending them to that private school.
I often think,
yeah,
this. My son is homeschooled, mm-hmm, and, you know, whatever the conversation comes up, I basically tell people, or my son, or whomever it is we're having the conversation, is that they're stealing money from my kid in order to send other people's kids to school.
Yes.
In many cases, those people are driving nicer cars and living in bigger houses than we were.
Yeah.
And, well, that's pretty offensive.
Yes. I entirely agree. All taxation is offensive. All taxation is
offensive. School choice was a voucher bill, right?
So, yes, it was a voucher bill in effect because it was targeting only adequacy funds. It wasn't targeting all of the funds that which are student-specific. So, mm-hmm, in theory, the state of New Hampshire allocates somewhere around $10,000 per student per year in the public education system.
Which is a heck of a lot more than they do,
yeah,
in Florida.
we're only talking about a portion of that. We're only,
yeah,
talking about 2,000 roughly, and by the time the bill was finally amended, not only was the dollar amount less, but it only went to low-income families. So it was basically designed as a redistribution bill from wealthier families that were still going to pay the tax,
right,
and the only families that were going to be able to qualify for the actual benefit, you know, within the bill were going to be people who were, I believe, 1.5 times the poverty line, something like that. It was originally 3, I think, once it came out of the House, and then they cut it down after.
So basically
that,
the new middle class. Because,
yeah, right.
The,
yeah,
new middle class is
aspiring,
like,
aspiring mediocrity.
That's like,
yeah,
after the bankers wiped everybody's wealth out,
yep,
now the new middle class is, you know, just teetering just barely above the poverty line.
Yeah, right. what might otherwise be termed middle class, but yeah.
It's difficult to pick what middle class is these days.
They used to be low class, but now it's middle class.
Yeah, that's the new America. What are some of the other bills that, can you think of anything else that went through last year that was successful that we can be updated on?
Successful?
Well,
it was very limited. Constitutional carry, I already said.
Yeah.
But
you'd think,
yeah,
getting all these liberty-minded Republicans in office,
yeah,
we'd have had huge
right,
victories, right?
We're dealing with it right now,
yeah,
all weekend, the checkpoint bill.
Yeah, friggin', but anyhow, so we had a bill in to kind of limit the amount of state assistance or amount of, how should I term it? Basically, we tried to have a bill in to prohibit the state police from assisting with the checkpoints on 93 and all these other federal checkpoints. And also a bill that got killed in committee, which was last year, that would have outright prohibited these checkpoints.
I want to find out more about it,
yeah,
here.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
You have
USA Radio News.
Today, House Oversight Committee Chairman Trey Gowdy blasted James Comey in his opening statement at the high-profile congressional hearing regarding the IG report. Let's take a listen to a portion of his comments.
As we read this report, we're reminded of Jim Comey's decision to hold the July 5th press conference and appropriate the charging decision away from the prosecutors. We see Jim Comey drafting an exoneration memo before important witnesses like the target were even interviewed.
Today was the seventh straight day we saw a drop in the Dow. What does this mean, though, long-term for folks, and how does it affect our economy? Alexander Acosta is the Labor Department Secretary. He says the economy is doing fine.
We have one of the best economies we have seen for decades, for the first time ever. As far as we've been keeping records, we have more job openings than individuals looking for jobs. And the Federal Reserve estimates the economy is going to get even better.
That audio courtesy of Fox Business. This is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
Free Talk Live comes to you live from Fork Fest here at Rogers Campground in beautiful Lancaster, New Hampshire. It's Mark with you.
And Will.
And we're talking to Caleb Dyer, one of the very few libertarian representatives, state representatives here in the United States, but he happens to be in New Hampshire. Got him here at ForkFest, and thought I'd sit him down and ask about some of the successes that we've had legislatively in New Hampshire. We're going over sort of what happened last year in this term, and there were apparently some checkpoint bills.
Yes, so again, this is not really success, but it is something that we tried. We tried to have a bill to effectively prohibit sobriety checkpoints, but the bill was also quite vaguely worded. So
what limits sobriety checkpoints? I mean, what do you hate sober drivers?
No, I hate warrantless checkpoints. I think that they are entirely against the Article 19 rights of inhabitants here in New Hampshire.
And the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah, and the Constitution of the United States. But
the idea that somebody can detain you you're being detained without reasonable, articulable suspicion.
Yes.
And there's 1,000 years of English common law that stands against this notion.
Yes. In fact, there's a ton of case law here in New Hampshire that stands against this notion. But they seem to think that it's A-OK anyhow, and they keep doing it. But we had a bill in to prohibit sobriety checkpoints. It was slightly more vaguely worded. And actually, I think that's one of the reasons why maybe the bill failed so quickly as it did. But the bill was so vaguely worded that it would have probably prohibited checkpoints, or at least incited the sheriff to dismantle checkpoints held by feds, because it would have outright prohibited all sorts of checkpoints.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. No, the bill was very vague, and I actually think that's one of the things that led Republicans to, like, killing it, because they're like, no, we like immigration checkpoints. We want those things to keep.
There's nothing better than seeing two groups of armed government goons go to war with each other over it's like a turf war. It's like a gang turf war.
Yep. No different.
The thing I like about DUI checkpoints versus an immigration checkpoint is a DUI checkpoint is almost, it's much more closely exactly what it says it is. They're not lying to you. An immigration checkpoint is a drug checkpoint parading as we're protecting you from the evil Mexicans coming across the border to
Canada.
In the middle of the night. Right, from Canada.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've got drug dogs there. Those drug dogs, illegal immigrants don't smell any different, America. So that drug dog isn't trained to sniff out. That dog isn't trained to sniff out.
It's all the Asians that live in Canada. They're packing bombs across the border. So they somehow got them through the border.
Yeah,
you know,
it doesn't make any sense.
How do you get a car into America from Canada without crossing a border where there's a government agent that says you have to stop?
There are surely some locations in rural areas in New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine. I don't know of any.
Yeah, no, there are very few checkpoints. There are very few points along the border where you will not get checked by some government thug.
Yeah, I would guess those logging roads in sort of that northern, western portion of Maine that you could probably find some way across the border. I don't know what kind of vehicle you might be able to get across the border. Maybe it needs to be a four-wheel drive.
It's not going
to
be a minivan with four kids and, you know, no.
I know people have hiked across the border and managed to avoid these checkpoints.
Yeah, a boat or a hike, yes, but
I wouldn't try a boat
in a minivan or a family sedan.
Yeah, it makes it rather difficult. So, checkpoints, what else in last years?
So there was actually one success. We in years previous, we had accidentally regulated cryptocurrencies, and that's why one exchange didn't operate here.
Poloniex.
Yeah, Poloniex, yes. Poloniex refused to operate in New Hampshire for the longest time and actually is still refusing to operate, even though we've deregulated. But we passed a bill to effectively undo the regulations that were accidentally passed in previous sessions. But
yeah. That's a good thing.
Yeah, indeed.
So how about this session, which you just wrapped up?
So this session, I'm racking my brain, man. I can't really think of
anything. There's nothing even positive?
The school choice bill failed. And actually, even that bill,
by how much?
It's like a margin of 10 to 15 votes or something like that. But
so
it still
that
failed,
just needs to be rewritten in a way that would be more palatable.
I mean, the thing is, like, the way that it was amended in a way that I almost didn't guarantee my vote on that bill. I mean, it became, like I said in the last segment, it became a redistribution bill. I mean, like, they were whipping the votes in favor of it, and I ultimately just said, you know what, I get it. You know, a lot of the pragmatists who are working either as Republicans or what else, they, you know, felt that the bill was good as it was because it was an incremental step.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, like, it's basically you're just creating another welfare program is what this is. It's welfare, but for education.
Yeah. I wouldn't complain quite as much if government school was means-based as opposed to, being sort of what I call it on a regular basis, which is middle-class welfare babysitting day prison.
Yeah.
Because it is middle-class welfare. Middle-class people say, I hate those folks on welfare, but if you send your kid to government school, you're stealing money from my kid's education to give to your kid's education, and thanks so much, you're on welfare.
Yep.
That's end of story. And it's for babysitting, because I know, as a homeschool parent, what it takes to educate a kid and keep him at grade level. I have some clue, and the other 6 hours of the day is just you having your kids someplace so that you can go and put a second parent at work. And I'm not saying that putting a second parent at work is a bad thing. I get it. But, why should I have to pay for your babysitting services? This is, in New Hampshire, $15,000, $17,000 a year for a kid to go to school. In Florida, probably $5,000. That's just you getting a big old check from the government.
Yep, that's all it is.
I found about 6 years ago, you're not going to have to worry about a school voucher bill ever passing, because the Democrats realized about 6 years ago that there's a silver bullet for ending voucher bills. That's why you haven't seen one pass in quite a long time. Invoke non-Christian private schools. That's all you have to do. Just acknowledge that private schools exist that aren't run by Christians. Just acknowledge that Muslim private schools exist, that Jewish private schools exist.
All of a sudden.
I literally saw the state of Tennessee 6 years ago. A Democrat got up and looked at Rick Warren, who had written the voucher bill, and said, you do realize that Muslim private schools in Tennessee will get this money as well. And they literally pulled the bill that day. It was never even voted on. And that was the end of it. And that was 6 years ago. So that's all you got to do. Just tell one of your Republican friends, like, hey, I mean, one of your Democrat friends, be like, hey, tell the guy writing the bill that this will go to, like, Jewish and Muslim private schools.
Oh, my God.
They'll never even put it out for a vote again.
Yeah, this is something that Americans really don't know, is that that's the reason government schools exist in this country. Because what was happening was, usually communities would have, a school or whatever, and then oftentimes there would be religious schools, and they would be supported by the parents, and that sort of thing. But what happened was the Catholics started coming in and offering free school. And people were like, we like free school,
but we don't like Catholics.
And there was that, right? And so everybody was sending their kids to these Catholic schools, and they were getting Catholic indoctrination in the process. And that was a problem because of the papists and, I don't know, the Pope and...
your Roman popery!
Whatever the hell the complaint was. I still don't know. And so the government's like, oh, we need to centralize this stuff and make free, basically Protestant schools.
It's the exact same thing I just said earlier, that we need to replace the religion with the religion of the state. We will take God out of it, and we'll put federal government in its place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it took them a little while to do that. Obviously, they were talking about God and praying and government schools for quite some
Protestant
time.
Protestant for a while, and then it became fully secular.
Yeah, then it became secular, and the Protestants, they hoop and they howl at the very prospect. But this is what happens every single time. You let the government do your stuff for you. They're always going to do it wrong. That's what they do.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's their function.
So, Caleb, I guess I have to ask, the question, if we've got, the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, which I presume you are endorsed by.
I am a life member of NHLA.
Yep. If we've got this organization that is, got 80 people in the House, how come we're not able to get a bill through?
Well, because I don't believe that most of those 80 people in the House are actual anti-authoritarians, libertarians.
They're getting A's and B's.
I mean, it's kind of funny. I was roundly criticized very recently for my vote in favor of House Bill 1319. And I generally speak...
Caleb, can we keep you over one more time?
Yeah, no problem.
Yep, here on Free Talk Live.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Pick up two bottles of LicoChops, get the third bottle free.
New improved LicoChops with omega-3, omega-6, vitamin E.
And now, 6 extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try LicoChops. Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
Good technology is good, but the philosophy behind the tech is important. And Zencash was made by voluntarists with the ideas of voluntary interaction being embedded into the white paper. With no central authority or single point of failure, Zencash is more resilient than a traditional corporation. Everyone has an equal opportunity to participate in decision-making, which empowers stakeholders and makes Zencash less susceptible to third-party influence. And Zencash allows for secure private transactions. Learn more at Zencash.com.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural, organic, herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Yeah. All right, Free Talk Live coming to you live from Forkfest at Rogers Campground in beautiful Lancaster, New Hampshire. It's Mark with you.
And Will.
And we've got Caleb Dyer, who is a state rep here from the state of New Hampshire, and talking about some of the challenges and successes of being a libertarian in the state house and some of the things that, have gone through the legislature that are positive and some things that are negative. And one of the things that you were talking about, Caleb, is there's an organization, the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, which of which you and I and maybe Will, your life member?
No.
Okay. I am a life member and proud to be a life member of the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. And, there are about 80 reps roughly in the state house that are endorsed by the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, meaning they get a B or better, 80% and above, pro-liberty. And your complaint is that sometimes these reps are not enough to get liberty-oriented stuff through.
Well, so the 80 or some odd so reps are... I would contest that they're even necessarily all libertarians. I think a number of them are not truly anti-authoritarian, anti-state. Yeah, I know, right.
Well, we can't have them all voluntarists, but I do want to tell you about a voluntary cryptocurrency. It's Zencash, and Zencash is, like other cryptocurrencies, you can send and receive money, very low fees. You can do it, in the case of Zencash, you can do it anonymously. It won't be, your transaction won't be kept on the blockchain forever and ever. It also has 11,000 secure nodes, making it, in some ways, one of the most secure networks out there. And they're making it better. We just had a guy from Zencash on, and he was talking about some of their plans to make it even more secure. So check them out. Go to Zencash.com. So go ahead.
Oh, well, anyhow, back on the NHLA subject, most of those 80 or so Liberty reps, and I use Liberty very lightly, I think many of them are very statist. Many of them just want the state to do certain things, but don't want the state to do other things. So it's kind of, I think the NHLA standard is actually not as stringent as I think it should be. I think that, I was talking before we ended the last segment, I was saying I was roundly criticized for my vote on House Bill 1319. The NHLA didn't take a position on this bill.
Okay, 1319?
Yeah, so it was the bill to add gender identity, the term gender identity, to the statute prohibiting discrimination.
Okay.
And the way that I saw it is not only does voting against the bill just generally look bad, it also hampers your ability to limit the applicability of the underlying statute in the future. Because if you look like a bigot, no one's going to take you seriously when you go in future years and say, maybe this bill shouldn't prohibit it for private businesses. Maybe the only entity that shouldn't be discriminating is government, because by its nature, it has to serve everyone if it exists.
So you're talking about an incremental success?
Yeah, right. It's sort of an incremental success kind of idea, but an actual limiting of that statute. So it
setting
doesn't
the chessboards
yeah.
for a future move.
Yeah, right. So it doesn't actually apply to private individuals anymore, because it's absolutely ridiculous. If I don't want to serve someone for any reason, I should have the right to do so,
sure.
And the market should have the equal right to punish me for my choice to do so. So if the market, you know, if individual actors in the market think that I am, you know, bigoted or wrong for making the choice of discrimination, I should, you know, suffer the consequences of that, not be protected by the state, or protected by the state in the sense that if I don't discriminate, I am protected. If I discriminate, then I am, you know, attacked by the state. But regardless, the use of state force shouldn't even play into that equation. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
Okay, so with the reaction to that, mm-hmm. you know, to the, I guess, identity yeah. politics kind of nature of that bill, what was the reaction? Because I didn't see one. I totally
right.
missed it.
Right.
Elvis
to is
two
good.
People on the NHL endorsement list supporting the creation of a state income tax.
Well, like, yeah, right.
I never saw a reaction from them. Your Mark's like, are you a lifetime member? I'm like, no, I moved here like 3 weeks before they forgot to react.
So the reaction.
Two people saying, I totally support bringing an income tax to the state of New Hampshire. That's a great idea.
So,
it's opt-in, because everybody knows that things that are voluntary with government never become permanent or required later.
So you're talking about House Bill 628, which was the family insurance leave kind of policy
yeah.
That created a... Originally, it was a 0.5% income tax, and then it bumped up to like 2/3, and then to 3/4 or something like that by the time it was amended. We luckily killed that bill. That was good that we... Yeah, indeed, yes.
It was more like, an employment tax, right? Like
it was employees. Basically a... It wasn't an income tax directly per se. It was a payroll tax that yep. would have been collected by the employer, but it's still just as bad.
Darn close.
Yeah, it's all the same. But anyhow, we luckily killed the bill, and
no,
hopefully
thanks to NHLA.
Well, NHLA did take a position against the bill, but ultimately it didn't fail in the House, where the NHLA actually has most pull.
The NHLA is less of a lobbying organization,
yeah.
more of a sort of advisory organization.
Yeah.
They put out the gold
yeah.
sheet, they tell you how to vote. And
like Liberty candidates.
They suggest yeah. how to vote.
Right.
I mean,
I'm sorry they don't have more money, Will. I wish they did.
Yeah.
And they'd have you know, lobbyists that could go in there and do their
I just want
their
them
gig.
To react, you know. If somebody who... if
they got to vote.
I'm a nobody, and if I had endorsed somebody and they were like, oh, I'm in favor of gun control now, I would feel compelled to be like, oh, by the way, that guy's an idiot now. But they were just like, la-da-da-da-da. Like, it didn't even happen. They acted like people that are still on their endorsement list on their website aren't supporting straight-up socialism.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, but I'm definitely not going to want to be a member as a libertarian of an organization that's not got... I mean, I might as well just join the Libertarian Party again if I wanted to be a part of an organization that doesn't have the balls to stand up for its own principles.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way, Will.
as a libertarian rep.
Yeah, as a libertarian rep, I actually see some value. in specifically the state party. If you're not involved in the national party, so be it, because honestly, there's so much drama and crap that
there's
that
a lot of drama, but
with.
I really love how the national party gives me somebody for whom to vote on the presidential election. And, you know,
there's enough drama that we can cover it once a week in our most popular segment of the show on the Call to Freedom, Libertarian Drama of the Week.
Oh, my 6 God.
6 to 7 p.m. every Friday.
That's so terrible.
We triple our ratings for that hour over the entire week.
But anyhow, Will, I would encourage you, if you're not involved with the National Party anymore, which I don't expect anyone to be at this point, get involved with the State Party because we could totally use the help. You know, we're actually somewhat principled comparatively to the LP National group, which is slowly but surely becoming far more, you know, let's inch towards
centrist.
Yeah, right.
Centrist populism.
Centrist kind of populistic. It's, I don't know. I mean, I've been anti-state since I was, you know, before I knew what a libertarian was. So, like, it's
right.
Yeah. It's just frustrating.
I've always hated government. I just didn't know there was an organized way to do it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I didn't know other people did this, too.
One of the complaints about the Libertarian Party generally, probably on the state level, too, is that it's spending a lot of time reinventing the wheel. In that it does, you know, it does politics. There's all this state party stuff, and one wonders what the heck it accomplishes. I mean, and, you know, in many cases, it'll take good reps and make it so that it's impossible for them to win. So in your case, do you expect to run as a libertarian in the next?
Yes, I filed.
To win?
Yes, I do, actually.
Okay.
I only need 5% of the aggregate vote to win a seat in my district. It's kind of interesting. Right over there in that camper, the Lekas for representative, they both, actually, Tony and Alicia, are both running as Republicans in my district.
Okay.
And then Herschel Nunez is also running as a Republican in my district, and I'm running as a libertarian. So there are plenty of people who are anti-state, who are running under
our three-stater. Free-stater.
Yeah.
Free-stater or
free-stater. One way or another,
which would you like?
There are going to be a bunch of anti-state people who are likely going to win that election, even if I don't win. I'm going to try my darndest to get to 5% to, you know, get that seat back.
I think it'll be interesting if you manage to pull it off. You'll be one of the first, like...
Yeah, well, not
one
the first.
One of the first,
the first
totally
to do now, yeah.
Libertarian candidates to be elected to a state house position.
Well, I wouldn't be the first.
No.
One of the first.
Yeah. One of the first, but not the first.
Yeah, not the first. There was a fellow who...
Gorman?
Gorman got reelected as such. He switched while he was in, too, but Gorman got reelected as such. Let's see. So there was a fellow in Alaska who got elected outright as a libertarian.
West Virginia had one, I think.
West Virginia did, too?
Yeah, one. I met him when I was at the party convention in 2016. He's not in office anymore.
Okay.
But he was elected as a libertarian, I believe, in 2014. And then was, or 2015, and then was out. He lost the re-election. But I met him in person, shook his hand. He's a war vet.
Yeah.
Like, had an IED go off next to his truck. He's got, like, this really compelling story. So, I mean, of course he got elected.
Yeah, right.
In rural West Virginia.
Yeah, right. I'm not surprised by that whatsoever. But there was a fellow by the name of Steve Valancourt who in the year 2000 was elected as a libertarian. He was a previous Democrat prior to that, and he took the libertarian nomination and won re-election in 2000, but that was the only term he ever served as a libertarian elected.
So he served plenty as a Republican. So why?
Yeah.
I guess that would be the sort of the question is, why not stop duplicating efforts and just go ahead and be a Republican or Democrat?
Well, the fact that we are basically muscled out, and actually, again, this comes full circle back to the whole NHLA strategy of kind of infiltrating the GOP or, you know, Democratic Party here in New Hampshire, is that it's really not worked that much. I mean, they'll point to things like constitutional carry, they'll point to, like, certain wins, but I...
Caleb, I'm going to have to thank you for being on Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutriMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.